Tonight's show is brought to you by The Spicy Shark. All their products are gluten-free and dairy-free, and they use all-natural, mindfully selected ingredients that are sourced from the USA and organic whenever possible. Check them out at thespicyshark.com. Follow us on X at @B_podcastle. And my hat to you tonight is brought to you by Janie from Georgia. Thanks for the hat. Chop on, everybody.
Get that baby!
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Jitter Park. Some movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious. I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cole.
And you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
That should be good corn time. It's a movie. Just wait for the big giveaway at 9.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
And how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. Back in the Midwest. Trees have changed color around here. It's getting a little cooler. Except for today. It was 80-something, but... Well,
the foliage is there.
Yeah, we call that a Haddonfield Halloween.
Yes, fully leafed trees. It was great to see you in LA. I want to recap on your trip. See how was it?
It was good. I was there almost 3 weeks. So first weekend was the Halloween 45th anniversary convention and tour, which I just sent you a link to Halloween Daily News.
I watched it. It was a good video.
I watched a tiny piece, then I heard myself. I'm like, I can't do that. But hopefully it turned out
good.
Well. Good.
It was good.
And then did some locations in between, and the following week was the Hollywood show, even though I was only really there like an hour.
Yeah, you were there really quickly. Was it like not good?
Well, there wasn't too many, but there was enough, Miss Pia Zadora for the Lonely Lady, of course. Mariel Hemingway, also best known as Lacey Warfield from Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Oh, yes.
Can't say no to that.
Thank you. You really can't.
No. I was hoping, because I forgot to write a Superman 4 book that I brought for her to sign, and I ended up not bringing it, but she did have a Superman 4 8x10, so. Oh. And Penelope Ann Miller, which... I was excited to meet, and I forgot to ask her about, because I'm missing a location from Dahmer, and I thought, damn it, that was my chance to ask her where that...
Who was she in Dahmer?
She played Jeffrey's mom.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Yeah.
So, just a tiny part, but she was really good in it. I was like, how could I forget? So it was good, and then met up with you and Brian, and we did some... locations at were we at the Galleria?
the Sherman Oaks Galleria.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was there for Alias, but obviously it's been used in other wonderful productions.
Yes, many good spots. I wanted to ask you, Penelope Ann Miller, she was in Kindergarten Cop.
Yes.
Was that her biggest film role ever? She was in a bunch of movies in the 90s.
She was in The Artist. Was she nominated for The Artist? I can't remember. But yeah, so
the black and white silent movie.
Yeah. So okay. Carlito's Way. I first remember her as she was in Adventures in Babysitting. She was her friend stuck in the baby state in the
bus. She played Brenda.
Yeah. So she's been like in quite a few productions so far. She was The Relic.
I remember The Relic.
She was these ones where she was actually kind of the lead. She wasn't the lead that often, it was enough that, So I was excited to see her there.
Yeah, that's cool. That's exciting. She was married to Will Arnett briefly.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I was trying to remember who else was at the Hollywood show, but yeah, so I just kind of, a smattering of people, and then I kind of went on my way and did more locations, and then where else? But we went to the Westwood Cemetery, where quite a few famous people are buried or memorialized there.
Rodney Dangerfield. There was There's just so many.
Marilyn Monroe,
Hugh Hefner,
Heather O'Rourke.
I'm trying to think of the director that was buried there, the famous one from the 40s.
Gotcha. Don Knotts.
Don Knotts. Was he there?
Yeah, that's why. When it's funny because as soon as I saw his grave, I'm always like, fucking Don Knotts, because that's the line from Serial Mom. And they have that painting at the Motion Picture Academy Museum. That I always call out. So, which I went to, my sister flew in and we went to the Motion Picture Academy Museum. So, which I was kind of disappointed this time because they added some stuff. They added The Godfather. And of course, I was there to see the Pope of Trash, the John Waters exhibit. But they also took away all the Wizard of Oz and they took away some of the Star Wars stuff. And I'm like, that should be like your evergreen permanent exhibitions. You know, the Wizard of Oz. I mean, why?
Yeah,
move that out for, you know,
right,
that's
why?
A year-round thing, you know, like you should always be able to see that. It's kind of like
I think
the Smithsonian,
so,
where you should always have these some permanent pieces, I think. But
yeah,
so I was kind of
you should always be able to see the slippers.
Yeah. And then that same day I took my sister over to the Peterson Automotive Museum, and that had changed, where they kind of the Star Wars land speeder didn't seem to be there, or was in a, or you could pay twice as much to go see all the other cars. I'm like, well, what's the point of?
Right. If you're there, stuff? Just.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah. But I did have had a friend that works at Disney. So we went over to the Disney lot, which I didn't publish any pictures, but they shot a lot of Alias there. And then we had a little time to kill before the Warner Brothers tour. So they're like, oh, we'll just go over and grab a coffee or something like that. So I'm glad we did because, of course, they had all the Barbie stuff up. But they also had this Exorcist, little mini Exorcist exhibition where they had a couple props, which I've seen before. But they had the big Pazuzu statue that you see in the beginning and the end of the movie, which I didn't even know still existed.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so I thought, oh, this is neat. And then I realized they were having a book signing for a guy that just wrote the 50th anniversary of Exorcist to talk about it. So I said, oh, that's great. And so we went to got a coffee. I got a special. They had a special just that day, Exorcist smoothie, which it looked like green pea soup throw up.
And, oh, yeah, it has to be.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And then I realized that the little thing where they had all the props was actually a cue to go see, to get your to buy the book and get it signed. And we had a tour come at 3:30, and he was going to start at 3:30 or something like that. I was like, oh, darn it. I was like, and so I asked the Warner, I was like, how long is he going to be here and whatever. I'm like, they were so nice. They literally, they said, well, there's a line to get the books outside. I'm like, they said, go inside the store, get a book and come back. And I'm like, all right. And I
said, that's the loophole.
Yeah. Can I leave it here? They literally just cut me in front of everybody so I could get my book signed by the author, meet him, and then go on my tour. So thank you, Warner Brothers. So by the time
the tour
was over, they had taken all the stuff down. So I was there for the right literally 2 hours by Robert Magic, as my family would say, that it all works out the way it's supposed to.
Yeah. Hey, you got to be on film time, you know?
And
make
then
it work.
We ended that. Like I said, my sister flew in. So we had a special event at Torrance High School for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So where you're
nice.
Literally, they kind of, it was great, very fan-made event. They put Sunnydale High School up on the school to make kind of like it just like it was in the TV show. A lot of Buffy fans there. And
oh,
we could really
nice.
Film the exterior part of the entire campus as long as we wanted to and take as many pictures. So
see, that's cool. That's what you want to like do.
Yeah.
Immerse yourself in it.
Oh,
get the whole experience.
So yeah, so it was, you know, I've been gone that long, but I've never been in LA for almost 3 consecutive weeks. But
yeah, it's a long
as
time.
As you know, I feel like I live there anyway. So
yeah, it's a hot month to be here.
Ooh, yeah, you probably missed out because we kept texting you or messaging you to because we've
hiked
to the Sepulveda Dam, which I've never been to before, and it was a hot day, but it got
hot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was great to see you. Thanks for the book. Robert got me the Jaws, making a Jaws 4 book, which is great.
Did you just tear right through it?
I tore right through it. I tore through a lot of things. I reread a bunch of Stephen King stuff this month.
Nice.
And yeah. If you're just tuning in, we got a great show. We have Robert Patterson of SetJetter.com on the show for SetJetter Saturdays. And let's kick it off Just want to mention we've lost several people in the last few weeks since our last show. Burt Young, Suzanne Summers, and Piper Laurie, just to name a few. Now, Burt Young passed away first.
Yeah, and which I believe so. Which he's one of those. He's almost like a Wilford Brimley. Like, how he's always been old.
He's always been old. You know, I thought the same thing. So when Rocky came out, he was old then, and he must have been like 36.
Yeah, that's
what I mean, he looked like he was 60 in that.
The 70s version of 36. I don't know.
But when they said he passed away at 83, I was waiting for them to say, like, you know, he was 98.
Yeah.
But I'm like, so. Really? He was 63 in like the 2000s? Like talk about an old looking guy. No offense.
No, yeah. I mean, I just think back to, because I remember most from Amityville 2, where he played the dad. And even then, he seemed like an old dad.
He did. Yeah.
And then he was in another Amityville about 8 to 10 years ago, I can't remember. And I remember I was talking to Diane Franklin at the Hollywood show, and she said, Burt Young's in it. I'm like, and she, I kind of gave this look. He's like, yeah, he's still alive. I was like, what?
He's still going?
Yeah. But yeah. So Suzanne Summer. So obviously she's battled cancer several times.
She
obviously was too young to go as well. Piper Laurie. And actually, I watched a few videos this week of her talking. So she was, I've met her a couple times, and I think I've talked about this before. One of my favorite experiences was not actually with her, but adjacent to her, that I was at a restaurant where the convention was, and she was having lunch, I think, with Nancy Allen and PJ Souls, which is weird enough as it is. And she kind of laughed, and she did that cackle, that Margaret White kind of cackle. And I was like,
oh, nice.
I was like, oh, yeah, just naturally.
So, oh, yeah. Yeah. No, she was great. Margaret White. I feel like these things happen in threes, and those are such random opposite ends of the spectrum. But there are three character actors and actresses and whatnot that we loved. And Suzanne Summers made a really great fortune for herself. I didn't realize her net worth, but she was.
Oh yeah,
she cleaned up.
She was not messing around, and she was in Serial Mom right at the end. So.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I do love Serial Mom.
But yeah.
Sad. Godspeed. Very sad. What you been watching? Let's kick it off with you, Robert. What are some of the gems you've been dabbling in?
A couple. I haven't watched as much as you. I've been mostly hotel watching to see as what's
it
on.
It counts. It
which
all
is good.
Counts.
And so this is only what I remember. So I did sit and watch The House of Wax, the newer version with Jared Padalecki. And actually, it still works for me. And Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
How could I forget?
It's not bad.
No, yeah, I think it's a solid film, and it still works for me, and so I like that. The new series Gen V, which is a spinoff of The Boys, started watching, so it seems to be okay, not quite as engaging as The Boys, but I'll continue to give it a shot. I'll save our talk for Meg 2, because you watched that as well. I did go to the theater and watched Exorcist Believer.
How is it?
Oof. I don't even know if I could say it's a movie, and I'm curious how it is on Rotten Tomatoes, but I'm sure it cannot be good. So, you know, I was going, you know, pre-reviews were not good. I'm like, I'm going to go in with an open mind and so the problem is, you know, it was a mass media, you know, everything was out there, and literally everything you see in the trailer, or even like the 30-second commercial, you know, the two girls are missing, and they showed up 3 days later. That's dragged out for at least half the movie. So anyway, you know, when they're acting like,
where
are we going to find the girls? I'm like, well, give it another 2 days, you know, like what? I think we all know. And no spoilers. And I'm not the first one to say this, but they just, Chris McNeil, you know, the legacy character they brought back, they just did her wrong, and it barely felt like the same character, and they did not treat her well. So just super disappointing. I'm more upset that it still made over $100 million, which
I saw that.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, well, it has 22% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, still too high.
Probably is.
Yeah. Totally Killer, which is a new streaming movie through Blumhouse. Did you watch this one? Or it is worth a watch. So it is kind of a mixture of horror comedy with a Hot Tub Time Machine.
Really?
I thought
I'm sold on that. Yeah,
it actually works pretty well. So I did enjoy that. I did start watching the new American Horror Story Delicate.
Yeah.
Which, if you've seen Rosemary's
Baby. I watched that too, yeah.
Yeah. If you've seen Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby. You've
seen Delicate. So I keep waiting for them to bring something new to the table, and they have not.
I know, yet. Right. You're waiting for that extra layer.
Yeah. Chucky season 3 just started, and I'm liking it so far. Chucky in the White House. It's always.
Oh, nice.
Over gory, and one of my favorite moments is Jennifer Tilly. But right now she's Tiffany Valentine in Jennifer Tilly's body. You know, it's kind of all mixed up, and she's on trial. And the gal on the stand, you know, that she's like, she amputated me, and then she, you know, tied me up, and she did this to me, whatever. And then like, and then she made me watch Liar Liar on permanent repeat. And the audience, and the gallery's like, oh, like they got the most upset over that. So anyway, I like that sense of humor.
That is funny.
But non-horror wise, I don't know why I put this on here even. I just binge watched The Starlet.
The Starlet.
Which is
who's in The Starlet?
It's a TV series, reality TV series, where there's like 10 or a dozen girls, and they all competing to be the starlet.
Right, they're all vying to be the next big thing.
Vivica Fox, some guy, and Faye Dunaway as the judges. And some of it is like amusing in a, you know, mid 2000s kind of sort of way.
Yeah.
One part was literally just appalling, where they literally told, you know, they had to do a shoot a commercial for, you know, on the beach, and they literally said, "Get to the gym." And this girl is like a size 3, you know, like she had no, you know, like they literally told her to get to the gym and made her cry, you know, and that she was too fat to be the star.
What a terrible message to be putting
out
there.
It was awful. And Faye Dunaway is the one to say it too. Obviously, we know that she can be mean. So
yeah.
Instead of "you're fired," they would always, you know, if whoever was being cast away for that episode, they always had Faye Dunaway, "Don't call us, we'll call you." And the girls would cry.
That's the punchline.
Yeah, and so forth.
Oh,
but,
man.
So for some reason, I got addicted to it. And it's only like 6 or 8 episodes. But anyway.
The Starlet.
That's what I've been watching.
Can't wait to watch The Starlet. Don't call us.
We'll call you.
Yeah. How does Faye Dunaway look?
Well, it's 2005, so she looks pretty good. So
yeah.
And for the most part, I was just like, I could not get past that episode where they just... the girl was too fat at, you know, 112 pounds.
How could you not?
Yeah. I know. It was just rude. But
yeah. Oh.
Anyway.
Go to the gym.
Yeah.
I watched a lot, so I'll just breeze through these and mention the notables. Yeah. The Perfect Storm, which I've brought up before. Friday the 13th, the original.
1980. Did you guess who the killer was?
I couldn't figure it out. I had to Google it. Who was it?
Do you watch it still with do you watch it with sarcasm now, or do you just kind of watch it as?
Yeah, I watch it with it sarcasm. Yeah, I think about the lines. Unintentionally, but it happens. Gladiator, The Fighter, Halloween 2018, Seinfeld. Okay, Meg 2, The Trench.
We both watched that. That's a hotel watch for me.
So it's like they're not serious movies. They're not supposed to be, but I feel like Meg 2 waited too long to give you the goodies, and you're kind of just watching a lot of filler, and it wasn't as good as the first one.
No, and as soon as the girl was hidden and the, you know, like, "I'm here too," right. I'm like, we've done this so many times. Like,
so many times.
I just can't. Even Interstellar did that. I'm like, "I'm here." And like, no. Can you find a different way to get the kid on board? And nobody wants a kid with it. I'm like, who are we? I think we know what country we're appealing to with half of this movie. But and it was like literally all, it felt like a, you know, a smorgasbord of like, we had 6 things that we wanted to include, and we just smashed them all together, even though it doesn't seem like a coherent movie.
Right. No, it doesn't feel coherent. Yeah. There's some weird subplots with like the dinosaurs, and there's just a lot of unnecessary action filler scenes that aren't, you know, it's like the editors took a few days off, and it's, I don't know.
And
it wasn't
point,
very good.
And just to be, you know, at some point the shark is so big, who cares? You know, like it's less scary than.
Right. It's just like a ridiculous
20-footer shark or.
Yeah.
You know.
Right, when it's that big, you're just like, you kind of lose focus.
They need to take some cues from Jaws the Revenge.
Yes. When in doubt, Jaws the Revenge.
Maybe Meg 3, they should bring Lorraine Gary as a little cameo. Oh,
could you imagine?
Yeah.
She doesn't talk about Jaws, but she will come out for that.
She'll
It'd be
come
fantastic.
Out, yeah. Come on. Have a little Jaws reunion.
Yeah, have a swan song.
Yeah.
Watched... Dave, which I think I've watched before this
year. You watch that monthly, I think.
Gotta watch Dave. Contraband, Mark Wahlberg. Okay, so I watched Spy Game, which I've always loved that movie. I just haven't seen it in a while.
Is
have you ever
Robert,
seen it?
Is that Robert Redford?
Robert Redford.
Okay.
Brad
Sounds
Pitt.
Sounds familiar. Okay.
And the only reason, not the only reason, I'm sure money had to do with it, but one of the big reasons Brad Pitt did it, he said, so we can work with Robert Redford. And, yeah, it's like a thinking man's James Bond. That's what Tony Scott said the film was.
Gotcha.
He directed it. He said it's like a thinking man's, you know, thinking spy genre, which is interesting. Hmm. So I watched a bunch of others, but I will just say American Horror Story NYC I just finished, which you watched.
Which one?
I think. NYC?
Oh, yeah, American I did Horror see Story. That. Yeah, so.
Which I liked it. I thought it was good.
Yeah, it should have ended an episode earlier than it did for some reason. But
I thought it was actually over.
Yeah, it should
and
have
And then
been.
Another one popped up, and I'm like, oh, I guess we're not done.
Yeah, I guess we have another Spider-Man 3 incident here where it's not quite done yet.
Because it ended with like coming back on the cruise and everything, and then it was like, next episode starts in 15 seconds. I'm like,
and you're like, oh, now what? Kind of like The Stand, episode 9 or whatever it was like.
Yes, the coda. They crowbarred that in.
Unnecessary.
So, yeah. So I watched that. Watching Delicate now. I watched From Hell again. And Children of the Corn I watched last night.
84?
Yeah, of course. Or... Hemingford.
Gets better every time, doesn't it?
It gets better every time. You know, I never noticed, but Night Shift is on the dashboard of the car.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That with their travel tissues that they don't make anymore. I remember that. Every station wagon had those tissues in the front dash.
Yeah. And Peter Horton's line. It's Peter Horton, right? The actor?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Where he's like, don't ever come into my emergency room, pal. I'm like, oh, gosh. Outlander.
Oh, it still somehow works, even though it really shouldn't. But
it still does.
Yeah, yeah. Soundtrack helps for sure.
I do love that score. Yeah. So yeah, that's what you've been watching. Some good and some bad in there mixed up.
Lots of good horror stuff.
Lots of good horror stuff. And being that it's the season of the witch, we're going to do another segment of October Halloween picks. One's not mentioned on the last show. And I realized in the last show, a lot of mine were ridiculous. Like the Amityville Horror, my favorite scene was the wedding cake. And to the listeners, it doesn't get much better this time. Because I want to kick it off, Robert, if I may.
Yes, please do.
Friday the 13th, part 3, which I recently watched. And as you know, listeners, I've mentioned it before, it's my favorite of the franchise. But my favorite scene is a new scene for me. It is Shelley's dead.
Oh, my God.
Because Chili goes upstairs and then walks right back down. And there was no reason to be up there, but we're doing it.
Oh, so it's
just love it.
I saw that, I was like, I remember I was like, is this in the novella? And it is.
And it is.
It is. Exactly. Shelley's dead.
Shelley's dead.
Oh,
yeah. I just love it. Well, how about you? What was one that you haven't mentioned on the last show?
So obviously, and I don't know. So I couldn't find the last show, but I was trying to figure out something different. And I probably said Carrie 1976 in the last show, but it was obviously it's me, and I was revisiting it, some pieces of it because of Piper Laurie. So my favorite scene is still the proms, the split screens, and so forth. Because one, it kind of does take you out of the movie a little bit, but it is in such a way that it's letting you see cause reaction, and so I just
love it's, the way it's great that. To Palmer right there.
Yeah. So so Carrie will always be one of my
it's so much ones, fun
no matter what. What do you got next?
I have Dawn of the Dead 1978. It's a weird favorite scene of mine, but the opening scene in Philadelphia with the SWAT team, you know, it's cool. There's like there's so much going on. There's the outbreak, the initial news reports, the breakdown, society trying to take control or keep control. But then there's like the low-income housing, and they're hoarded in there, but some are infected, some are not. It's just so chaotic. And then it sweeps to the helicopter, and it's like calm, quiet. Yep. So I thought that was a cool opening, because you basically see society breaking down.
Yeah.
And they're still government's still trying to hold on, and it's like, no, it's not happening, pal.
Yep. Newsroom chaos, the police. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So those and Dawn of the Dead probably always it should be, I mean, the strongest of any of the Dead movies that he did, for that simple reason. It was kind of the most cohesive, meaningful, I think, still, and kind of artistically done. His follow-up Day of the Dead just didn't have it didn't follow it felt shallower than
I agree.
Previous two. Yeah. But
you know, it's really interesting you say that, because I always felt that it kind of did, you know, it's kind of gimmicky, and the Captain Rhodes or whatever was like Bono trying to be in the army. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm not buying it. But Dawn of the Dead, I thought was cool, because when you talked about being cohesive, they did show in Dawn of the Dead that the rural parts of the country were able to like maintain, they were able to control the outbreak because there was like hunters and, but then the cities were like death traps, and those
Midwesterners.
Yeah. The Midwest, that's where you want to be. But, good call. What about
next,
you,
I put Exorcist 3. So obviously this is usually looked upon as one of the better sequels. And I was kind of going for more creepy moments. And so, my favorite scene out of this movie, a lot of people have their favorite, you know, the scare scene. But I like the Father Dyer office scene where it's super quiet. And then at one point they're talking about Regan, you know, what happened, whatever. And you could just vaguely hear on her Regan giggling a little bit on the soundtrack. And at one point the clock stops. And then, you know, there's kind of papers rustling. It's not like overdone. It's not like Paranormal Activity, but enough that, you know, that George C. Scott's kind of looking around, and there's a scene where like one of the statues now has like this weird kind of clown, almost Joker face. Now, if it was Exorcist 2023, they would cut to that and they make a blah, you know, like scare. This was just quiet, and it was just, you just happened to see it, you know? And I was like, that's what I miss from Exorcist movies, or, you know, quieter suspense movies. But anyway, so that kind of whole scene is one of my favorites. And I remember in the theater, it was just, people were chilled, you know.
Because, I'm looking at the picture now. It's chilling.
Yeah. We weren't able to, people were just like, it's the same thing. Like I think we did like with the original Halloween. You're looking at all parts of the screen to see what's happening. Yeah.
Oh, that is creepy.
But
great effects too.
It is. So that was mine. What do you have next?
We have the same. We have Christine and Killing Buddy. It's the best scene in the movie.
I don't know about between soundtrack, what's happening, the visuals, you know, car on fire, you know, like it just doesn't get better than that.
It doesn't. Buddy Ruperton. Yeah.
Probably kind of transcends anything that happened in the novel. He probably got killed completely different in the novel. I cannot remember now, but
I don't remember. I did read it once,
but
that is a great scene.
Yeah. I was trying to, I had to pare down because I at one point I had like half my thing was Stephen King movies, and I'm like, no, that's not quite.
I know. I have three of them on here.
I took back, but I was like, there's probably a reason for that, you know, or the kind of the OG Stephen King stuff. So
whatever happened to Doug? Is it Doug Gordon? The actor in Christine?
No, it's something Gordon, but he became a director or director.
He became a director.
So he's actually more known for that now than any of his roles. But
yeah. Oh, he was Keith Gordon.
Yeah.
What about you? So what was we'll start to your next one. What was your next one?
So my next one, Rosemary's Baby, and probably because I was thinking about.
Oh yeah, right. Good version. It's on the brain.
Same thing. I pick my creepy scene is when Rosemary's on in the phone booth and she's calling the doctor, and then somehow slips behind her, but we don't realize until she turns and hangs up the phone that there's another gentleman that turns and just looks right at her, spying on her more. So to me, it's like that ultimate paranoia.
Yeah.
And if I remember it's all done in one shot, and I was just like, that's that whole scene. It was more meaningful than, Emma Roberts saying, oh, somebody was across the street and a bus went by and then they're gone. I'm like, come on, let's stop that every time. It's like, oh, I have a zit on my face. I don't know. None of this is working,
Right.
But
you might as well just throw. Yeah. At that point.
Yeah, I just so no.
That is a good scene, though. The Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And that's that whole paranoia thing freaked me out more, I think, as a kid than the devil or anything like that.
But. Yeah, yeah. It seeps in there.
Yeah.
I have Halloween 4, the
Leave
Return
us
of Michael
alone.
Myers.
Oh, sorry.
Leave us alone. I did watch that. I don't know if I put it on my list, but I did.
Yeah.
That is good. That is great. I gotta go. I got a whole town full of beer bellies out there with shotguns.
So what? I assume you did not put "Leave Us Alone" as your favorite scene, but what did you?
It's my favorite unintentional scene, but I was trying to be serious. I think, like most fans, I don't know if it's scene wise in terms of plot relevance, but the coolest visual is when the ambulance leaves Smith's Grove and the music kicks on, and it's the same location as the stand as the. Vermont, whatever, disease control. That I think they nailed it with the music and the weather and the cinematography, I guess.
Yeah. So music kicks in. It's always raining October 30th in Illinois.
Right. It's always raining. Yeah. They shoot the doctor or whatever, from the inside of the ambulance at first, and then it cuts to the exterior. Like it's good. It's good.
No, I always say I remember that 18-year-old Robert in the movie theater seeing Halloween for the first time on the big screen, and that kicked in. I was just probably peed my pants right there.
How
so
do you know?
So excited. Yeah. I know. It's like, I couldn't believe it. A new That's Halloween. So and I think about that because that came out in 88, and it seemed like such a long time since the last Halloween. And Halloween 3 was 1982, so it was like literally a matter of 6 years, which now it goes back, that's like a drop in the hat. And I was... forever, we haven't had a Halloween in so long.
Yeah.
And now it's just like nothing. It's like nothing.
No thing.
But
good
I agree. That is a good
good
scene.
It's fun.
So my next one is a Halloween as well. So Halloween 2018. Like I said, I was going for more creepiness, I think. So I remember my list from last time. I probably definitely put The Descent and that whole so Halloween 2018, one of my creepy moments. That I thought they did really well, which actually kind of made me fearful of Michael again, is Michael just killed the dad, Ray, out in the yard, and Lori's locking the door, and Judy Greer is coming down, like, what's wrong? And she's like, Michael's here, And as soon as she said that, I was like, one, for treating Michael as a human being, and it's kind of almost more of a home invasion type thing. And then they go downstairs and you can hear him walking around. So that whole couple minutes was creepy enough to me that it was like, this is what made Michael, this was scared me as a kid, Michael Myers wise. So I felt like David Gordon Green actually got that right. So,
I agree with you. They humanized him again and it did its job when you hear him downstairs and the person, the home intruder kind of thing, it gets you.
Yeah. Cause that's a real... versus killing 12 firefighters. That,
right.
Just, hypothetically.
Hypothetically, if that were to happen in this sequel, what would we
that,
do?
If that would happen an hour later.
Stop. Oh, man. That was the whole teaser. Remember that when the first teaser came out? It was just that. I have The Birds.
Oh, yes.
The diner slash, it's the diner across the street from the gas station.
Yeah.
You know, you have the know-it-all lady and...
Yes.
Bubs, well, certainly, there's no contest between humanity and the birds.
And, you know, one picks the little girl. And...
Yeah. Thank you, Miss Exposition.
yeah. Hey, have you ever read the book, The Birds?
I have not. Have you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's different. It's it all takes place in England, but it's a lot more psychological. You know, they gotcha. What's going on outside is you know, civilization still running, and it's interesting. But yeah, Bird 63. I don't visit that much. It's not one of my favorite Hitchcock movies, but when I do. Around this time of year, I do like that scene.
Yeah. I didn't see the Birds 2 Lands In on your list, so.
Is there a Birds 2?
There is a Birds 2.
Oh my gosh.
Directed by Alan Smithy. That'll give you a little.
Lands In. Oh, Tippi Hedren's in it?
She actually does have it. She doesn't play herself.
94?
Yeah, it is not good. It's probably like you would.
Oh, Rick Rosenthal directed it. Well, yes. I do like Halloween too.
Yeah, but do you like Halloween Resurrection? I'm just saying.
Oh, but you've seen this?
Well, parts of it at least. It's one of those like you're like, let me give it a try, and literally you're 5 minutes into it, and you're like, I can't. That's how bad you know it is. Well, so
Tippi Hedren would have been. Did she have a big role in this, or is it like
No, she was like a store owner, so I think she was in one or two scenes.
Okay.
So she was just there as a kind of, I'm not sure. Hopefully,
right.
They paid her well. So, but yeah, it was kind of more actually like, hopefully you got a good paycheck. I'm sure she just gave it to her animal sanctuary or something like that. But
yeah, right. Yeah.
But which is she could do better for sure. So
yeah, I think so. Lands End.
Next is, it's not a movie, it's an episode of Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and it's The Gloating Place. So I'm not sure if you've ever...
I've seen all of them.
Yeah.
I just don't remember which one The Gloating Place is.
Gloating Place takes place at a high school, and high school, I'm putting in quotes, because they're Greece, you know, 34-year-olds playing high schoolers. They're not that old. But, right. And it's also kind of adjacent to this park where there's been, like... assaults and stuff kind of happening or whatever, and then there's kind of this meek kind of girl, whatever, and then she's not getting enough attention, you know, from the big man on campus, and so at some point she decides to, you know, she rips her clothes and comes running screaming from the park that she was attacked, and then she's trying to give these clues, and the police are kind of like they kind of semi on to her. They, you know, they realize that something's a little bit off, and then, but the press keeps wanting, oh, they do want to talk to me, you know, and then, you know, she's in the press for a couple of days and is getting attention. And then, one of the other, kind of more popular girls actually does get attacked. And then, so she kind of needs to make her story right. Yeah. So anyway, so, and I don't know.
It's classic Hitchcock. You've covered this on your site.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, I did go to, a couple of the locations, but, so I did, and they remade it for the updated 80s, Alfred Hitchcock Presents. So, but, and I remember watching it as a kid, and, near the very end is like, she goes back to the park. You know, she's like, they all believed me. And she's kind of, I think she's looking into the reflection. So the camera shot is her in a reflection, kind of looking into the, to the pond at the park or whatever. And then behind her, the man in the dark mask and the white gloves comes and grabs her or whatever. So literally kid, oh my God.
It's scary.
A heart attack. And I was just like, that was.
There's no doubt. Banged,
scarred into my brain for so long. So I was just like, I never forgot it.
That is a good one.
Yeah,
that really is that one, and sticks out in my mind. And also the one where the guy pretends to be cured at like the Fountain of Lords or something, and he's like, you know, he's like, oh, it's a miracle I can walk again when the holy water gets on him.
Yeah,
and then at the end he really like does become paralyzed, and they show like the statue looking at him, and it's like, I really can't walk.
Like,
Hitchcock
learned.
Is so good, man.
Yes,
you know. That's another show. This is another show topic, but we should do a Twilight Zone versus Hitchcock.
Yes.
Like, what's, you know, they're all good.
All all the variations.
there's some movies and some TV shows.
There's some shows. What do you got?
I have Halloween Kills 2021, the opening police sequence, the entire recreation of Haddonfield in the late
1978.
You know, it takes you back to the original and you feel like you're there because they show quiet, you know, it's like after Halloween is kind of wrapping up, the kids are in, they're showing like back alleys, small town, then like the isolation of the two cops in the, you know, the house. And I think the CGI looks good. Like for all the way they could screw that up, I think I believe it. It's good.
David Gordon Green will find a way to screw it up. So from everything I know, the original script was almost, I think almost half of the movie, I think, was taking place in 78, and which kind of could be like, as fans, we would love it. I could see as general moviegoers, they're like, where's the new Michael? You know, like, but yeah. All of that worked, and I remember excitement because I was at the U.S. premiere, and so when they kind of did, you know, this boom back, you know, Halloween, you know, Haddonfield, you know, 1978, audience, I think, cheered, you know, like we're excited that we were back in 1978, you know, and kind of reliving some moments. So I completely agree. And they did a decent amount of, I should say, retconning, but, you know, it was good. It was, you know. They still had to make it work. He couldn't really kill anybody else, or that way, you know, because they would have everybody else's lines in the future movies would have been incorrect. Doing the Michael Myers house and kind of almost recreating, doing a good job recreating Elrod Alley was great.
Yeah, absolutely. So
and then the rest of the movie happened.
And then it wasn't great anymore. But, what about you? Yeah. What was your next one?
Zodiac. So the 2007 David Fincher movie. So
good flick.
Going back for creepy scenes. So the whole Charles Fleischer scene where he goes
good call.
Gets invited to his not invited to his house, but was he a movie theater projector? I can't remember. So he had all the old posters and it's all down in the basement. And things are creepy enough as it is. And when you know he goes to the basement, you're like, this is it. You know, like he's. Once you're in the basement, you're not getting out of the basement. So creepy. It's barely lit. And I think, if I remember right, David Fincher said that, honestly, that is really only lit with like a 60-watt bulb. Like, literally.
Oh, they actually filmed that way.
Charles Fleischer's probably at his creepiest best. Oh. So that whole scene is just like...
It is. Hold your breath. It does its job.
Yeah. So, one of my... favorite movie moments there. So
is that one of your favorite movies?
It is. So it, yeah. It's one of those.
I do
get caught up into that. And I did several of the movie locations while I was been out and about, both in San Francisco and LA, for sure.
I like that you watch that. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There were two Zodiac movies that year.
One was but this is the one, obviously.
This is the one you want to watch.
This is the one you want.
I had Dead Zone, a Stephen King movie, the climax of the movie. It's one of those films where I think the novel is better. But the climax is cool. It has one of those, you know, people always ask, like, if you could go back in time and kill Hitler, would you do it if you knew what he did? And things like that. And it's, what would you do? And he doesn't actually have to... do it. It doesn't work out the way he wanted it to, but it serves its purpose. And I don't know. It gets you sweaty palms. It's in the church. There's like, I always thought it was a good climax, both story and thematically for the movie.
Yep.
So
Deborah Hill produced movie.
It is. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Dead Zone. And this is where, you know, Dead Zone is not necessarily a horror film. It's definitely a thriller.
No.
Yeah. I think why Stephen King shows up a lot onto these lists is that all of his movies are character driven. His works are character driven. So it's not just the plot mechanisms, obviously, with Johnny and his what he can see and change or whatever moves the plot forward, but it's all character driven of him and his love lost and you know, the son he didn't wasn't able to have and so forth. So
well said, sir. Well yeah. said.
My you're yeah. hurting you're hurting my son.
You're hurting my son.
Oh, the scissor scene. Ugh.
Oh. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not gloating in that place.
Nasty.
Nasty. That's it. What about you?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the 78 version. Again, I'm going to kind of, I might be harkening back to movies I saw as a kid or maybe 2 years, or they'd be, you know, NBC Sunday night or the, you know, Sunday night movie or whatever.
Of
so
course.
You'd be seeing this more sanitized version, but so they're at the baths, which I still understand mud baths and all that. And especially as a kid, I was like, why are they in mud? You know, and then it was Jeff Goldblum's or his pod person becoming a pod person on the table and is creepy. And then it eyes open it and creepy. Stuff like that. Yeah. And that just freaked me out. Yeah.
Yeah. The bath scenes. I'm just glad you said that one and not another one, which I'm not even going to bring up.
Yeah.
So I don't get nightmares.
All right. Don't think about it.
I can't. But good call on that one, though, for sure.
And it might have been second to the scene, which creeped me out. Now it's kind of funny. But, you know, there was a pod gone wrong where they have the homeless guy and his dog.
Oh, that was it. That was the scene.
Was that it? Is that what you're talking about?
I can't.
About?
Oh. I can't.
And it's like, you know.
It is so creepy. It's so creepy.
It's good effect. I mean,
it is good. It 1978?
Is good. 1978. Yeah. So sorry.
And the way he looks up, and it's like, wow.
Yeah, and that's what kind of ruins it. That movie has lots of great moments. That
it does.
We're going back to Paranoia. You know that. You know.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. So.
No, I'm gonna rewatch that this year. Good call.
You should watch all the Body Snatchers. Yeah.
What's that?
You should watch all the Body Snatchers.
Oh yeah. Oh, you have to. There's only two, right?
Well, there's the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the remake, Body Snatchers, Where Are You Gonna Go? Where Are You Gonna Run? And then Invasion.
Okay.
Nicole Kidman.
I've seen them all. Honestly,
some are not worth revisiting, but.
Yeah, the 78 one and the original's fun, of course, but the 90s one, I think, are my two go-tos. I have Salem's Lot. Not a Return to Salem's Lot, which I didn't even put on the list, but I did rewatch that.
Ooh, good for you. Did the whole thing?
You know, well, I watched that all the time as a kid.
Really?
I somehow obtained that VHS, and my friends and I, when they slept over, I'd put it on because it was, like, scary.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, the biggest takeaways were, I think that's a Wolverine trap he got his foot caught in. Like, nobody was scared or, like, buying it.
Yeah.
It's just not very scary. Mm. But Salem's Lot has some good jumps in there. Yes. And the scene where the vampires floating, I always thought was cool effects. But yeah, I like Salem's Lot, the film. It's good.
Yeah, it still holds up pretty well.
Yeah.
I bought it when it came out on Blu-ray.
Oh, you bought it?
Last year, yeah, to kind of give it a good revisit. And some people have been doing locations up, I think, Northern California, which is great. And I know they remade it, or it's been had been remade into a TV series, but I'm not sure if it was shut down or if they finished. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I know Rob Lowe's in it, I think. That's about all I know.
I did watch that.
Yeah. Is it already out? I can't remember. That's.
Well, they made one in like 2005 or something.
Okay.
And it was like Rob Lowe and.
Okay.
James Cromwell, I think.
Gotcha. So there might be another new one. I'm not sure. But.
There was supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah.
The Rob Lowe one's just okay.
Is that just okay?
Yeah.
It is Rob Lowe.
Right.
I do have Rob Lowe, but anyway.
Yeah.
What
was yours?
Next, I put The Stepfather, the 1987 version. So
nice.
Lots of things I love about this film. The scene I picked out where he's down in the basement freaking out, kind of yelling at himself, not realizing that he's being witnessed
psychological
future stepdaughter. And he has to turn around. And he's like, oh, hi. You know, like, but then it's too late, you know, like, probably kind of like when I saw it as a teenager, it's like, oh my God, you know, like,
yeah.
And as a teenager,
it's good acting.
Yeah. You are trapped because what are you supposed to do? You know?
Right. There is no one like you left. Yeah. Wrong movie, but I like it.
So my whole list probably says more about my psychological view of myself.
I like it. I like it.
What do you have next?
Finally, I have The Thing, the test with fire scene when they go around prodding people to see which blood, you know, they put
the blood. The blood. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like you're supposed to be safe in that scene as a viewer, because you're like, well, they're all in the same room. Like, they'll kill whatever it is, but they don't understand what they're dealing with. It could be anything. And it's very sweaty palmish.
And it's great. The jumps part is a great sleight of hand, because
they,
multiple things, and it's always Kurt Russell's hand holding this. And then for that scene, it is not Kurt Russell. You know, it's a whole prosthetic that is able to have the thing. So it's like, good for them.
Good for them. Yeah, it was pulled off.
Yeah.
So yeah, go watch these, kids. They're fun movies to watch. Next, I have, I have a special trailer here for you.
Okay.
Well, it's not special. It's Final Chapter 1984 trailer. Ooh. But I've never seen this. Have you revisited this recently?
It depends which trailer it is. Like, they have different trailers that came out, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
I might have. Yeah.
Well, stop me if this is trash or anything, but I'm very curious to get your take on this.
Okay.
All right.
Three times before, you have felt the terror, known the madness, lived the horror. But this is the one you've been screaming for. Friday the 13th, the final chapter. Jason is back. He moves like a shadow, dark and silent.
Sorry, you change your mind?
He never utters a word. He doesn't even seem to breathe.
Where the hell's the corkscrew?
He simply, mindlessly, mercilessly, kills. But now, Jason's reign of terror is over. Friday the 13th, the final chapter. Jason's unlucky day.
So, was Corey Feldman not like a star at that point yet? Because he's not in the trailer.
He was not. So, he had not, Gremlins had not came out yet. So, he had done some films, but he was not. People weren't going to see it for Corey Feldman, nor was he kind of a name.
Okay, well, forget. Let's say he wasn't a star. There's like none of him in the trailer. He's kind of a big part of the movie.
Yeah,
I wonder why that is. Did they shoot? Did they like? Was this really really early? Because there's a lot of the scene. There's like the twins aren't in there. They're not showing.
The twins are in there. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, Feldman's like his character is kind of significant.
They might. I wouldn't be surprised if there would be. We would not show any kids in a trailer on purpose.
Maybe that's it.
It could be the thing. So, and they were like just trying to. Teenagers might not want to see a kid in a movie, but
good call.
So obviously, I didn't see that trailer ever live, because all I would have seen were 30-second commercials. 14-year-old Robbie would not be able to handle 2 minutes of
14 to 13.
Yeah, I probably would not have seen it. Like, it's too much for me.
It's too much.
But yeah, I do like the old school Friday 13th. They actually spell out the 13th.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like three times.
Yeah, and they flash it a little bit. Like, what, the final chapter?
Let's go.
Surprised they didn't do all new.
And what did they say at the end? Jason's unlucky day.
That's where I'm like, this is the last one. We have to go see it.
Was it really supposed to be the last one?
Yeah. So Paramount was done. It had been a moneymaker, but Paramount reportedly was kind of embarrassed of these movies.
And they were just like, kind of we're ready done
to kind of be done with it. So, but they love money more than embarrassment. So, this one made so much money. I think it was number one for like 2 weekends in a row or something like that. So, that they had to keep making more.
And the snuff film that the guy's watching when he's stoned in the is hilarious. Like, was that real, or did they make film that separately?
I think that was old vintage porn, you know, where
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't snuff, but it was just
right.
old stag films. Yeah, so
that's what it is.
Well, the thing is, they couldn't afford anything. You know, they don't want to pay for anything that it wasn't already part of the public domain. You know, if they didn't have to. So these are still cheap movies, but
it's so funny.
But this one looked good.
Okay, that is funny. Oh, you know what? I got to bring this up. I watched Grindhouse, The Planet Terror, and Death Proof. Mm-hmm. Yep. Do you like those movies, or what's your? Because I know Thanksgiving's coming out. I don't think we've ever talked about these.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I saw them both in the theater, and I think I own both of them on Blu-ray. But I don't give it a rewatch too often because they are kind of grimy. You know, they're not necessarily super enjoyable.
Yeah, I thought watch, that. You know I think what I mean? You want to like them more than you.
Yeah.
Do.
Yeah, and they're almost kind of. Death Proof is kind of disgusting, you know, like I have a loss of limbs issue, so like when that leg goes flying off, I just like in Death Proof I was like
I can't
and yeah. My friends are with me, they know that I just like it's like oh I can't
right
even no. Even in was it Revenge of the Sith, or you know where Count Dooku, where they lop off his hands,
Dooku,
yeah
That part.
I
yeah.
I was like, oh my god, like.
I didn't know you were. So you wouldn't like Army of Darkness.
No, well, that's a jokey enough. But I don't know. I have some issues where I'm like, I can't barely handle that. So.
Oh, good. You can see me
like, ugh. Yeah. I'm having some issues right now thinking about it.
But, thinking about.
Yeah.
Don't trigger Robert. Let's change the subject.
Like, so, you know how to get me. Yeah.
I know. We know how to get him.
Yes.
We don't have to do this. Do you want to hear the movies that have Monopoly in it?
Well, why not? Because I'm thinking of Friday the 13th because okay. Do you know what? Every time I'm like Baltic Avenue where Alice is like,
I'll Strip take Monopoly.
One boot.
You know, I would really like to see Strip Monopoly, and I would like to see it realistically where it takes 8 hours to win. And you're like standing there with just a shoe on. Like bored.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, I was watching Children of the Corn and they're playing Monopoly. And I'm like, oh, they also did in Friday the 13th. So I went through the movies I could find that they're actually featuring Monopoly in.
And what else did you come up with?
Patriot Games. And they're incorrectly playing it there. There's two hotels on two of the properties. Come on.
Is that where what the prop oversight? Master doesn't know what he's doing?
What's that?
The prop master doesn't know what he's doing.
Had no idea.
This seems right.
Just threw it down. It's fine. The Flintstones play Rockopoly, if you remember.
That I do not know. The show or the movie?
The show.
The show, okay.
Rockopoly. All
right.
The movie, I don't know if they did. I don't remember. But Tucker, the Man and His Dream. Mm-hmm. Weekend at Bernie's. Snoopy Come Home. A Quiet Place.
I do remember Quiet Place, yeah.
Aaron Brockovich, they're playing the Harley Davidson Monopoly version.
Oh, really?
It's kind of interesting. Okay. Yeah. Zombieland.
Okay.
And The Sopranos in one of the episodes of Man at the Lake. So
how'd you figure this out? Or do you have to is there a list out there that
I asked. I'm part of Monopoly fan group.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And I kicked it off with I'm really going places. I kicked it off with Friday the 13th and Children of the Corn, and the internet did the rest.
Gotcha.
I'm a big Monopoly fan. I like collect the game. So,
do you have different movie versions and stuff?
I have like 30 different games.
Yeah. And do you actually play those, or are they just there?
Almost never.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just play Monopoly. Yeah. The problem is finding people to play with.
Gotcha.
It's a long game. You need to be.
It's
invested.
A long game. It's ends up being not a fun game, I think, for a lot of people.
For a lot of it does. Yeah. See, I'll play with family and stuff, but you know, after a while, people just get bored of it.
If aliens are watching, they think that's all we do as humans is play Monopoly and strip Monopoly.
All right. So finally, I wanted to end this with a Blind Man's Bluff since it's been so long. I'm going to read the... this is from setjetter.com, listeners and viewers.
Okay.
And Robert, I'm going to read the description that you wrote, sir. And you tell me what it is. As a fan of the original blank, I visited some locations for that film as well as the sequel, but only recently looked into locations for the third entry. Be sure to check out Hawksatter.com or the old Hawksatter
Slumber Party Massacre.
How did you know that?
Hawksatter.com.
Okay.
I just know that we
had... Okay, well, let's share
that
here.
Gave it away. Yeah.
This is a cool entry, Robert.
Slumber Party Massacre 3.
We're going to start off at Venice Beach. Volleyball scene.
Yeah. As kids do. And I remember, if you watch the movie, you could tell it's kind of cold for some, you know, like, they're actually freezing on the beach. For, you know,
oh, yeah.
So you can't tell, but I think Californians can tell when it's actually a cold day at the beach.
You must have went early in the morning. It looks clean.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a nice, I only picked nice days to go to the beach. So,
good,
so obviously beach scenes are easy to figure out. The scene where, the directions to the beach was a little, not more difficult, but Corman Studios used to be right there. So I knew where they were located. And so I was able to kind of figure out where it used to be an old wood mill, I think, or something like that. So some of that particular electric pole is still there and it still has the same markings all these years later. You know, the yellow
part. You know, gosh, you're right.
It's exactly the same
spot, gosh.
Everything. So that's why I love, you know, if it's not torn down already, that's why I can count on LA. So
I love it. Yeah. No updates.
Yeah. Exit from the beach. That's pretty self-explanatory where you can easily figure that out. This is one of the few bridges that the car kind of goes under. So all right there, you know, they don't venture too far. And I can't remember for the house if Eagle somebody, Rock. I think it was a fan that kind of figured this out for me to kind of where this house was. Cause yeah, everything is, a lot was in Venice and this is over in Eagle Rock. So,
nice
find. I talked to the owner of that house and, I think he had no idea.
Really?
The time. Yeah. And cause I was like, can I take pictures on your porch? And I'm like, I guess, you know.
You got some great shots.
Yeah, so I got some pictures. So house obviously kind of pretty much looks the same. And so I think I probably went overboard here on all my number of shots and all the angles and stuff like that.
No,
but you know,
this is awesome.
You know me being a completist.
You have to be a completist.
So let's go down a little bit, see which other house down the street. Back to the beach at night. But
that shot there was of Corman Studios.
Yep.
Okay.
Phone booth was set up at the end of this neighborhood.
Maywood Avenue.
It would have just been in front of another house, which is kind of weird and random. But
oh yeah.
In Rio. So just a couple locations. So Marta Kober from Friday 13th Part 2 is in this film as the pizza delivery person, and she just turned 60 today, I saw.
Who was that, Robert?
Marta Kober. She played Sandra in Friday the 13th Part 2.
Oh, okay.
She's the one that gets skewered with her boyfriend on the bed.
Right, yeah. Right.
So.
Now, this is a cool entry, though. I like this.
So not really a good movie. But
a good entry on SetJitter.com.
But it's a slumber party massacre. You know, I had to cover it.
Do you ever revisit this movie?
No, I haven't seen it in a long time.
Long time.
Yeah. It's probably one of those. It probably wasn't even really a slumber party massacre, but it was some other script and they just called it Slumber Party Massacre 3 just because that title would kind of get some people on it. So, But I was thinking, because I did end up watching more clips, so I sent you the video of Halloween Daily News. I was on my tour for Halloween 45th anniversary, so
yes,
if you watched it, we did go down the Garbage Day Street from
absolutely,
and it was Garbage Day. So.
Garbage Day, yeah, it was like a paradox happening. Yeah.
So it was a perfect,
great
perfect
job,
serendipity that day. So
yes. Very serendipitously. What's next for you, Robert? Are you posting anything from the trip?
I don't know. So I, on this trip, location-wise, I did a lot of Alias, as you were privy to. We went to UCLA and did a lot of locations there. Walked around the campus on a nice, was it Saturday evening?
Yeah,
it was Saturday evening.
I can't Saturday.
Remember. Yeah.
Yep.
Which was kind of nice and quiet and good dusk moments. As long as people in wedding pictures would get out of our way.
So random.
But so if listeners, so UCLA, obviously lots of things have been shot there, but At Dusk is or at near sunset is nice for Nightmare on Elm Street 3 because you get some of the same sun shots with seeing Amanda Krueger in the long hallway, which is always nice. So, really so cool. Lots of Alias and some other things. I kind of did some catch up. I did go to one more location from The Big Bus. The cemetery scene was shot down in Inglewood, so I found that spot.
Oh, nice.
Where
it's The Big Bus
talking to their graves. Family and their graves and so forth. So,
oh yeah,
I'm sure nobody else has covered that spot. But
it was teeming with set
writers. People are like, when are you gonna get to it? So, I do have somebody that is a huge Capricorn One fan that's been posting on my page because
I was just thinking of that when you said that.
So a couple things, like one, because I had a barn that I found in Cantil, California. And it looks exactly the same. And he says it's not that barn, but it's a different barn. So I'll have to go check. But he also found all these other spots in the desert and stuff like that, which I'm not going to go to.
He
is obviously a huge Capricorn one.
You'd have to be to find those.
Strangely enough, so somebody my sister went to high school with now lives in California, actually near LAX. And he said something about like, oh, I like, it's weird seeing filming locations. I like to, and he's like, my brother has a whole website. And the first thing he brought up is like Capricorn One. What? Like, Capricorn, so I think there's a huge, huge fan base that we just did not know that was out there.
It's out there.
Yeah. So
you turned me onto that movie. Yeah. And then I was listening to James Brolin was on Club Random the other day, and he was like, I think on Capricorn One, we did this. He was telling stories. And I was like, oh, like, thank what? God.
Oh,
it's great.
It's aching for a remake.
It is. It really bring is,
back,
actually.
Yeah, bring back James Brolin as a legacy character.
Totally could. 83, still doing it.
Yeah. It's like, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, please. That is a great movie.
You're scared of NASA? You should be.
You should be. Oh, I love it. That's due for a watch. Is that on Blu-ray?
No.
Or 4K.
I can't remember. I have a couple versions, like, because one comes with commentary and one does not. So I think the Blu-ray, there's a Blu-ray, but I had to get the DVD because the DVD has the commentary. So for some reason.
Okay.
So
I was I'm interested in the commentary. I would like to see more behind the scenes.
I added one more. I did visit one more Capricorn One scene while in LA because I was right next, also working on Earthquake.
Really?
Yeah, 1974 down in, there was a Studio City shot. So I kind of did bits and pieces, but mostly Alias I've been working on for this last trip.
Oh, have you added anything to Capricorn One on your site?
No. I will. So obviously I have to look through what this guy gave me, all these kind of GPS coordinates and stuff like that. So I need to take a look at it. So,
well, we were at the cemetery in Capricorn One, right?
Which nothing against this guy, but He was upset that I didn't put the exact location for Capricorn where the cemetery scene was shot at in the cemetery, because it was the National Cemetery in Los Angeles. But apparently he said he spent an hour on Google Earth looking for that spot in the cemetery, and I'm like, it's not that big.
It really isn't.
If you spend an hour looking for it, all you need
you
is
you should spend 10 minutes finding
you
it.
Should find the two big trees and there it is.
Yeah. And right. Go henceforth from there.
Yeah. So, but no, anyway, I was
with you 100%.
So let's somebody else figure that out. Yeah. Which is
Good enough. This is a fun show, Rob. I'm glad we're back in the saddle.
Yes.
We'll do another one before Halloween. If you're around.
Absolutely.
For the listeners. Where else would I be? What else would I be doing? But that'll be our show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and we will see you on the set.
In black, remember that, just in case we ever face to face and make contact. The title held by me, MIB, means what you think you saw, you did not see. So don't blink, be what was
dead is now gone. Black suit with the black Ray-Bans on. Walk in shadow, move in silence. Guard against extraterrestrial violence. But yo, we ain't on no government list. We straight don't exist, no names and no fingerprints. Saw something strange, watch your back. Cause you never quite know where the MIBs is at.